The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad, dhil qadr al-Azim, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in lahum bi ihsanin wa hudan ila yawmiddin. Allahumma faqihna fi d-din wa 'allimna at-ta'wil wa alhimna rushdana ya rabbal alamin. Alhamdulillah, we're continuing to look at 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the great 20th century scholar Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And it's worthy of reflecting on each of these hadiths, of course, and how they highlight the praises of Allah, mighty and majestic. So we stopped at hadith number 33. Right, so we read hadith 32, and we are at hadith number 33. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ رَاهُ الْتِرْمِذِي. So, in this hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not ask Allah, Allah is displeased with. And they say this is, could be looked at two levels. Right? There's the displeasure, ghadab, of disappointment, right? Like if you tell someone, I'm upset with you, right? Sometimes it means like, I'm really upset with you, like you're in trouble, right? The other upset, yani I'm disappointed with you, right? You know, like I'm upset that you didn't bring the two flavors of ice cream, but you brought one. It's like, okay, but I'm upset, you mean I'm disappointed, right? So there's one aspect of not asking, because the general ruling of dua is recommended. So there's the ghadab in the metaphorical sense, right? Of not actual ghadab, but in the sense of disappointment, right? Because Allah wants good for His servants, right? And all the guidance of the deen is rahmah. Right? And all the things that distance from rahmah are disappointing to our Lord, mighty and majestic. Right? So that's one sense of it. Because dua is not obligatory. The other meaning of whoever does not ask Allah, Allah is upset with, this has to do the asking of neediness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The asking of neediness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's very dangerous. And where you proceed in your life and in your choices without feeling that you are in need of Allah. Ar-ra'ahu istaghna. And as Allah rebukes one person, one of the things, you see him having no sense of need of Allah, right? Because that is delusion and denial. Delusion, that you're imagining that which is untrue. Your reality is you are intrinsically needy. You're needy for your existence. You're needy for remaining in existence. Everything that by which you survive and thrive, both in dunya and in deen, You are in need to in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Allahumma inni la amliku li nafsi naf'an wala darra wala hayatan wala nushura. As a messenger, oh Allah, I do not possess for myself any benefit, nor any harm, nor even life, nor even resurrection. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Say, it is all from Allah. So the actual upset is whoever doesn't ask, meaning whoever does not feel the need to ask Allah, whoever does not feel the need to rely upon Allah, this is displeasing to Allah. Right? It is sinful. Right? It is sinful. It has theological implications too. Imam al-Tahawi says in his creed, وَمَنْ اِسْتَغْنَى عَنِ اللَّهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ فَقَدْ كَفَرٍ. Okay? Whoever deems themselves free of need of Allah, even for the blinking of an eye, has committed disbelief. Of course, it is only actual disbelief if you say, I am independent and in no need of Allah, directly or indirectly in any way. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Right? But it is only befitting a disbeliever. Because your reality, أَنْتُمُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. What is your essential reality? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, you're the ones in absolute need of Allah. So if you're in need, what do you have to do? You have to ask. Right? The asking with one state. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. If you rely, rely upon Allah. As we saw in the hadith just before this. Right? So those are the two levels of divine displeasure in not asking. Because Allah, does not seek harm for his servants. Right? All that the servant does to harm themselves is displeasing to Allah. Right? So at that level. And from that is failing to ask. There's a beautiful summary of the adab of dua by Ibn Ata'illah. And it's amazing. Right? And it's perplexing too. Perplexing in a particular way. Which is, he says, to read the whole hikmah, it has four parts. طَلَبُكَ مِنْهُ اِتِّهَامٌ لَهُ. Your asking from him is an accusation of him. Right? And we talked about that briefly. Your asking of him is an accusation of him. Right? That we don't ask with the sense that, oh Allah, you better get my wife here. Right? It's as if, oh Allah, get me a job. Like, as if you're reminding Allah. Right? Or you're demanding on Allah. He doesn't need a reminder, and you have no right to demand. Right? So, he says, طَلَبُكَ مِنْهُ اِتِّهَامٌ لَهُ. You're asking from him is an accusation of him. Meaning that kind of asking. Right? But then he says, وَطَلَبُكَ لَهُ غَيْبَةٌ مِنْكَ عَنْهُ. And you're seeking, and you're asking him, you're seeking him, is because of your absence from him. Right? So when you decide to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not some big deal. I am now decided, I am going to travel the path to Allah. You know, it's not, you know, it's like, it's not some heroic narrative. I am going to climb the mountain. It just, you're going to, you've decided to leave delusion. Okay? So your seeking him is only because of your absence from him. Reality is, he is with you. You're absent. So it's, you know, like, be humble. I feel a sense of shortcoming. It's, I am just being as I should be. Then he says, وَطَلَبُكَ لِغَيْدِهِ لِقِلَّةِ حَيَائِكَ مِنْهُ. You're seeking of other than him is because of your lack of haya, of shyness before him. Because if you had shyness with Allah, you would seek no other. وَطَلَبُكَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ لِوُجُودِ بُعْدِكَ عَنْهُ. And you're seeking from other than him is because of your distance from Allah. So, and all of these are displeasing to Allah. Your failing to ask with adab is displeasing to Allah. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ One aspect that's displeasing is you're failing to ask Allah with neediness and slavehood, as opposed to demand. My shopping list. Oh Allah, I ask you for 1, 2, 3, 4. If you don't give it to me, I'm upset. That's displeasing to Allah. Similarly, you're asking Allah for closeness in the sense of I'm a hero. Oh Allah, I am now seeking you. No. Seek Him humbly. Right? Number three, you're failing to ask because of you're seeking other than Allah. Right? So you think your networking will get you ahead. Your planning, your strategy, your scheming, your know-how will get you something is only because of your lack of haya before Allah. You don't know that only He, بِيَدِهِ الْأَمْرِ, in His grasp, are all matters. And you're seeking other than Him. Right? You have a list of things you're seeking in life. I want to marry, and yeah, even it's like subcategory, I want to marry Zubaydah, if not Lubna, if not Salma, if not, so that's goal number one. Goal number two, I need a career, either this or this or this. Number three, I need this, this, this. Number four, I need this, and yeah, and I also want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only because of how distant you are from Allah. And each of these four types of not seeking are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this is a little of the meaning of whoever doesn't ask Allah, either asking without slavehood, or asking out of self-consequence, or asking or failing to ask because you're seeking other than Him, or failing to ask Allah because you're seeking from other than Him. All of these are displeasing to Allah, and they could be subject of the divine wrath if one is not careful. Rahu Tirmidhi. Then the next hadith. عن عبد الله بن أنيس رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يحشر الله العباد يوم القيامة عراتا غزلا بهما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, will resurrect people, will resurrect His servants on the day of will gather His servants on the day of resurrection naked, urat, naked, right? Separate, right? Each coming forth on their by the side. قَالَ قُلْنَا وَمَا بِهِمَا, and what will be up with them? Like, why are they that way? It says, لَيْسَ مَعْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. He said, because there will be nothing with them. All our comforts and attachments, the things that give us a sense of security, all of them will be gone, even our clothes. ثُمَّ يُنَادِيهِمْ بِصَوْتٍ يَسْمَعُهُ مِنْ بُعْدٍ كما سمعه من قرب أنا الديان. Right? And of course here, before we continue, Sayyidah Aisha asked at this point, but wouldn't people be ashamed, Ya Rasulullah? He said, they'll have enough to worry about. Right? They'll have enough to worry about. ثم يناديهم بصوت. Then Allah will call them with a voice that those distant will hear as those who are close will hear. Okay? So there's a closeness and distance amongst those people resurrected. Okay? May Allah make us of the people of closeness when we hear this call. أنا الديان, I am the the reckoner, right? The reckoner, the one all is owed to. Right? I am the one all is owed to, and who has complete. So the dayan is the one whom all is owed to, whom all are indebted to, and the one who has complete control over everything. Right? Because the one you're indebted to has control over you. Okay? So the one, من يملكه التصرف كله, the one who has complete sway and control over others. That's the dayyan. أنا الملك. I am the king. لا ينبغي لأحد من أهل النار أن يدخل النار وله عند أحد من أهل الجنة حق. Not one of the people of hell may enter the fire. None of the people of the fire may enter the fire as long as they have a right owed by the people of paradise. And حتى أقصه منه, until it is reckoned for them. So even the people of hell will get their just due fully. ولا ينبغي لأحد من أهل الجنة أن يدخل الجنة ولا لأحد من أهل النار عنده حق. Nor can any of the people of paradise enter paradise until any right that they owe any of the people of hell take that right from both sides. So the people of hell, if they're owed rights, they'll be granted their rights in full. And the people of paradise, likewise. حتى أقصه منه, until I grant those rights to them. حتى اللطمة, even the slap. So then they ask, قال قلنا كيف وإنما نأتي عراتا غزلا. How when we come naked and alone? قال الحسنات والسيئات. How can you give anyone anything when you're naked and alone, also bereft of anything? You don't have anything with you. Then how can you repay any rights? So قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الحسنات والسيئات. Good deeds and bad deeds. Meaning, you give away your good deeds to repay the rights of others. And when you don't have any good deeds, you take the bad deeds of others until all rights are given in full. رواه الإمام أحمد بإسناد حسن. And there's more than one explanation of what is, of some of the words here mean. The third hadith we're looking at, hadith number 35, عن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه, Sayyidina Mu'adh relates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن شئتم أنبئكم بأول ما يقول الله تبارك وتعالى للمؤمنين يوم القيامة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you wish, I can inform you of what will be the first thing that Allah, mighty and majestic, will say to the believers on the day of resurrection. وَأَوَّلُ مَا يَقُولُ لَهُ وَأَوَّلُ مَا يَقُولُونَ لَهُ. And if you wish, I can tell you what's the first thing the believers will say to Allah. Right? And this is one of the ways of the Prophet ﷺ teaching that he deployed frequently, which is التشويق. Right? He says, should I not tell you about this? Do tell us. He captured their attention. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فإن الله تعالى يقول للمؤمنين هل أحببتم لقائي. Did you love or did you long to meet me? Did you long to meet me? فيقولون نعم يا ربنا. So they'll say, indeed, O Lord. فيقول لما. And he'll ask, why? فيقولون رجونا عفوك ومغفرتك. Said, we were hopeful of your overlooking and your forgiveness. فيقول قد أوجبت لكم. Said, it has been made, it has been granted to you. لكم عفوي ومغفرتي. You have my overlooking and my forgiveness. Right? And this, of course, the Prophet ﷺ said, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاء. Whoever whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. Or whoever longs to meet Allah, Allah longs to meet them. Hadith number 36, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال جاء عربي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That a desert Arab came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال من يحاسب الخلق يوم القيامة. Who will judge between people on the day of resurrection? The desert Arabs had these funny questions. They're really practical. And one of the praiseworthy qualities of the desert Arabs, and they said this is a good, yeah, this is part of their clear thinking, is that they didn't make assumptions. They didn't make assumptions. Okay. Seems kind of obvious. Who would judge? But why make an assumption? So they would ask these questions, but the ulama say, if you look at the questions of the desert Arabs, they're obvious questions. Okay, they're obvious questions. And it's part of a fitra salima, of a sound fitra. Okay? Not to make too many assumptions. And that's why the sahaba, it's related, they used to look forward for when the desert Arabs would come to Medina. Because they'd do strange things from which they'd learn, and they'd say strange things from which people would learn. Right? It's like I remember there's this brother who came to Amman, and he was 18. And he went to study Arabic, and his mother told him that in the neighborhood you're staying, there's a very respected sheikh, this Sheikh Nu Keller. Make sure you're very polite with him. So he didn't know who Sheikh Nu was. He said, my mom said, be polite to him. So after every prayer, he used to go to the imam of the masjid. He wasn't a scholar. He was a good man, but not a sheikh. He'd go, Sheikh, I hope you're well. Have a great day. In English. The imam of the masjid. Every day. It's probably related to you, by the way. Yeah. So, and we used to love hanging around the brother, especially when he came near Sheikh Nuh, because he'd ask wacky questions. Once he asked, Sheikh, if Allah is all that, why did he create us? Right? And, you know, Sheikh Nuh took it as a serious question, and he gave this beautiful long explanation. It was on a walk. Okay? And most people wouldn't ask a question that bluntly, right? But sometimes you need the strange voices to express what others wouldn't express. Right? So who will judge between creation on the day of resurrection? Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah mighty and majestic. And you see, one of the adab of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't rebuke people who asked bad questions. It's not easy to do. Okay. Said Allah Most High. فَقَالَ الْأَعْرَبِيُّ نَجَوْنَا وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. Said, we'll be saved by the Lord of the Kaaba. فَقَالَ وَكَيْفَ يَا أَعْرَابِي. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, and how is that, O Bedouin? Right? O أَعْرَابِي, O desert Arab. فَقَالَ إِنَّ الْكَرِيمِ إِذَا إِنَّ الْكَرِيمَ إِذَا قَدَرَ عَفَى. Said, because the noble, when they're able, overlook. The noble, when they're able, overlook. This is related by Ibn Najjar, but it's a really cool hadith. Said, who will judge? Because, you know, he heard all these people worried about the day of resurrection. This will happen. Said, okay, who will judge? Right? Why? Because people are limited in their mercy. This is Allah. And if creation who are generous, kareem, which is noble or honorable, noble, honorable, generous. Karam has these three meanings: nobility, honor, and generosity. Right? If amongst us, someone who's noble would overlook when they're able to. So he said, "Najawna wa Rabbil Kaaba." We will be saved. By the Lord of the Kaaba. Right? Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sarrahu an yakuna aqwa an-nasi falyatawakkal 'ala Allah. Rahu Ibn Abi Dunya fi at-tawakkul. It's related by Ibn Abbas that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever would be pleased to be the strongest of people, let them place their trust upon Allah. And this is related by Ibn Abi Dunya in Tawakkul. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places their trust upon Allah, He is their sufficiency. Okay, so this is a beautiful hadith. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها قالت من أرضى الناس بسخط الله وكله الله إلى الناس. She said, whoever, Sayyidina Aisha said, whoever pleases people by angering Allah, Allah will leave them to those people. And on the day of judgment, they won't have anything to give you. وَمَنْ أَسْخَطَ النَّاسِ بِرِضَ اللَّهِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مُؤْنَةَ النَّاسِ رَاهُ الترمذي. And whoever displeases people, right, through the pleasure of Allah, Allah will grant them sufficiency with respect to the troubles of people. But this is not to act with disregard for people. Right? That's not what is meant here. Right? Whoever pleases people in something displeasing to Allah, right, that Allah will leave them to people. But whoever displeases people, meaning in pleasing Allah, so that one sought to please Allah, but there is no way of seeking the pleasure of Allah in a manner considerate with people. Right? So everyone's going to do something haram. And you see, okay, is there a discreet way one could step away? No. But one still steps away. One doesn't deliberately do something to displease them, but in doing the right thing, some people will be upset. One still does the right thing. Right? So if one looks at a decision-making tree, one's try the asl in the sunnah, the basis in the sunnah, is what's called mudara, which is upholding what is true and pleasing to Allah in a manner that is considerate of people and circumstances. Right? Upholding what is right in a manner that is that's considerate of circumstances. If that is possible, that is the sunnah. But if doing what is right is not possible without displeasing people, then one would give precedence to what is right over what, you know, over the mere consideration of people. Unless the harm of course, there's secondary consideration. Sometimes the harm could be great, right? And that's a separate issue, right? Hadith number 39. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال كنت أصلي والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر وعمر معه رضي الله تعالى عنهم جميعا. Ibn Mas'ud relates that I was praying while the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr and was with Abu Bakr and Umar. May Allah be well pleased with all of them. فلما جلست بدأت بالثناء على الله تعالى ثم بالصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم دعوت لنفسي. It says when I sat down, meaning once he'd finished his prayer, when he sat down, he began with praise of Allah, then with sending of blessings upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then I prayed for myself, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم noticed. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سل تعطى. Sel tu'ata. And the Prophet ﷺ said, ask and you'll be granted. Ask and you'll be granted. So there's one aspect of that is the Prophet ﷺ is praising the way that he made dua. One aspect of it is that he preceded his dua with prayer. And you see that in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That if something big happened to the Prophet ﷺ, he would turn to Allah in prayer. And then he'd make dua. That's one meaning. The second, the Prophet ﷺ is praising him for beginning his dua with praising Allah, beginning with Alhamd, then salah on the Prophet ﷺ, and then asking one's need. That's husnul iftitah. That's the good beginning in dua. We also see in this a lesson There's some things that are considered minding another's business, and some things are not considered minding another's business, but recognizing they're good. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ praised him for this, indirectly for this matter. Okay? So if you notice something, you notice something good, and it served as a positive encouragement. What is disliked in the Sunnah is to exaggerate praise of someone in a manner that would inflate their, that could inflate their ego. And they say of the caution in praise is that you don't praise people, you praise a praiseworthy action in a manner that gives positive reinforcement to that action or that good habit. Right? Right? Because that is safer. Because you're encouraging them, keep at it. Right? As opposed to praising the person. Because if you praise that good action, they say, okay, let me continue with that. You praise the person, say, I'm so good. And that's the beginning of danger. And another meaning, of course, here is at that moment, the Prophet ﷺ may have been inspired that this is a particularly blessed moment of asking. Some of the ulama pointed out that here it could also be that one of the causes for the acceptance of dua is being in good company. And we know that, you know, the gathering of the virtuous and the righteous, etc., is a cause for the answering of one's dua. Right? You know, so they say that minha اغتنامُ المجالس المباركة is to make the most of blessed gatherings. What more blessed gathering could you be in than a gathering in which there's the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr and Umar? Right? That's another, you know, potential reason why he said this. And this is related by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and he deemed it to be rigorously authentic. The final hadith in the 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Abdullah ibn Umar relates that he heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say إن الله خلق خلقه في ظلمة فألقى عليهم من نوره فمن أصابه من ذلك النور اهتدى ومن أخطأه ضل فلذلك أقول جف القلم على علم الله تعالى. So it's related in this hadith that Allah Most High, that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have said that Allah Most High, when Allah Most High created His creation, that He created them in darkness. فَأَلْقَى عَلَيْهِمْ and then He placed up, then He cast upon them from His light. But this is not the divine light itself, because divine light is eternal. Right? This is from the light that He has created. So whomever that light fell upon was guided. And whomever the light did not fall upon was misguided. And it's reported that the Prophet said, that's why I say that the pen has dried on the upon in accordance with the knowledge of Allah. But the key to that, in terms of moral responsibility, is that what Allah decreed, right? What is the divine decree is what Allah specified with His eternal will in accordance with His knowledge. Beyond time, right? There's no time whatsoever. There's not before creation, or there's no point of time. Eternally, Allah's will specified that which would be with some of what could be for it, in accordance with His knowledge, eternally. And knowledge, Allah's knowledge is not like our knowledge. Our knowledge is acquired. There's the known, then the knowing, and then we know. The known, then the knowing, then we know. وَعِلْمُهُ وَلَا يُقَالُ مُكْتَسَبُ As for the knowledge of Allah, it is not acquired. Allah knows eternally before the created things that are knowable. Allah knows all the necessary eternally, all the possible eternally, both the possible things that will be and those all the possible things that will never be. and all that is absurd. Without, beyond time. So Allah's knowledge comes before the knowable. There's no act of knowing with respect to Allah. So Allah willed in accordance with what He knew eternally. Right? So those من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسي. Right? Whoever is guided was only guided for themselves. Right? They chose guidance. ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and whoever is misguided is only misguided against themselves. They chose it. And Allah knew those choices. How that works, that's Sirr al-Qadr, the secret of destiny in creation. But affirming this reality that Allah has destined everything eternally does not in any way negate the reality that we have choice. And Allah decreed and destines in accordance with the choices He knew eternally that we would make. وَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. And Allah's is the manifest proof. لا يسأل عما يفعل. He is not asked about what he does. وهم يسألون. But they will be asked. Why? Because we're responsible. And so we affirm this in no way shakes that reality. والله تعالى أعلم وهو أحكم وهو حسبنا ونعم الوكيل. So بإذن الله تعالى we extended today to complete the second of the collections on 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The collection that we'll be starting for Monday, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is the third set of 40 hadiths, which is 40 hadiths in the virtues of the noble Qur'an and in the virtues of its recitation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those who are of the people of Qur'an, who are the people of Allah and His most chosen, as we shall see in the upcoming hadiths. We'll stop there. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.